nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Welcome, listeners, to Radio Mirai. This is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is Nationwide Discussion Hour. And we are starting a little bit late because of some technical reasons, but still my guest is with me in the studio here today. We are going to discuss and have an update on the oil and energy conference that was held here in Juba, and also other issues related to oil production in the country. And that is today with the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Petroleum, Mr. Awo Daniel Chuang. Welcome once again to our studios on Radio Mirai.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gabriel.
Yes. Yeah. So it is almost now 20 years since oil was produced in southern Sudan, then and now South Sudan. And reports indicate that four existing blocks are aging, and that means they are, their output is declining. Can you confirm this, and what are the options for sustaining the productivity when you have such a case?
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Gabriel. I think the reports that were out there about the oil production in South Sudan over the years has been, always on the spotlight, because since 2011, when we took our independence, the production was around 350 total in South Sudan, but it continued to decline, and this decline in the production is a result of what we call natural decline, because the reservoir are always, declining if you continue to produce. And this also entails that we need to do some more work so that we are able to, increase the production, if not maintaining it. So what we have been doing over the years is actually maintaining the production. And this production, has reached now a level where it is around 150-something, which means it's almost like less than half of what you used to have. But the reserves are there. But the challenge of production is actually, the technology that we use to extract oil from the ground. And this technology is what we are trying to focus on. So what we highlight the challenges is for us to actually find solutions, and also to invite the right companies and the right technologies that can be deployed so that we are able to maintain our production. So that's why this natural decline has contributed to the decline of production at the moment. And also some of the shutdowns that has happened over the years as a result of the declared shutdown by the government in 2012 has halted our production for 1.5 years. And then it resumed for like maybe 7 months. And also again, we had a crisis in 2013 where the production was again shut down. But luckily, we were not able we were able to maintain one of the fields. It's out of three fields, we were able to maintain one, which is in Upper Nile. Block 3 and 7 was able to continue to produce from that time. And that's the only block that maintained South Sudan for those years. And then in 2018, we were able to resume the production in Block 1, 2, and 4 in Ruing and Unity. And now we are producing from there. And recently, only 1 week ago, before the conference, we also had a resumption in Block 5A in Sarjas, which means now all the blocks in South Sudan are on stream at the moment. But it was not an easy task for the Ministry of Petroleum to resume those productions, and especially at challenging times when we have COVID-19 and we have also the low oil prices, it was not an easy thing, because usually for you to decide on resumption, you need to put some money. And our partners, were not easy putting money so that we produce from those fields when the oil prices are very low. But now the prices have improved, and that's why you can see, the courage of the investors to put more money on the resumption. And those activities will require a lot of funds so that we are able to produce more oil from those fields. So as we speak, all the three blocks are now operating and they're working. But our challenge at the moment is how do we maintain the production first, and then second, how do we increase the production? So we should start by maintaining the production before even we think about increasing the production, because the challenge of natural decline you can be very difficult for us to do, because it requires technology. It requires mm-hmm. also finances for you to do this work.
And the investors have already the Chinese, the Indians, and the Malaysians, and also the Egyptians who are investing in here in the country. They have been using some sort of technology. Now, why is it a problem that new technology cannot be introduced by the same investors?
Well, I think, you know, usually, like I said earlier on, the decision for you to invest is determined by the economics. If you run your economics and it doesn't favor that time, then it becomes very difficult for you to put money. But for us in the Ministry of Petroleum and the government of South Sudan, we wanted them to optimize, because at then we don't want also to put money and then we lose. We want to put money, but we have to also gain something out of that. And that's why we always talk about optimization. Optimization does not mean that you invest and howly, but you have to invest wisely while you know that this money will always get something in return. And that's why our push to the companies now is to optimize the production, because we cannot also afford to lose, because these losses at the end will be incurred not by the investors but by the government of South Sudan as you lose resources.
So how close is this optimization?
Now we are moving with the companies and we are pushing them almost like on a daily basis, so that we are getting some other investors, because the challenge is the challenge of the technology. Because if you use a technology that will allow the oil to flow naturally, or even with a very simple artificial lift system, then it requires you also to improve on the artificial lifting, which means the pumping of oil from the formations, and also the chemistry of the oil in South Sudan also made it very difficult and challenging, because the types of crude oil that we produce in South Sudan are sort of, you know, heavy and waxy and viscous, and for that matter, you need to make some sort of treatment. And these technologies are what we call enhanced and improved oil recovery. And this enhanced and improved oil recovery is what we're looking for, because it has been used also in other countries in the world where we can get some additional volumes. And in my presentation in the conference, I emphasize on that, because that's an opportunity that is available for investors that would want to come. And this work is always done not only by the operating companies or our partners, but it is done by service providers. And these service providers are always everywhere in the world, and especially in the West, because the Western technology will be the best way for us to move forward in regards to enhancing oil production. That's why our focus was actually to tell them that there's an opportunity, and this opportunity will give us also more volumes of oil as we use this.
Listeners, Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadan. With me in the studio is the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Petroleum, Award Daniel Chuang, is here with me, and we are focusing on the update on latest oil production in the country, and also the recently held energy conference that was held here with some participants. You resumed the Tharjas, that is Block 5A production, and after 7 years of stoppage, and the production seems like to be very low when considered how other countries are producing. 8,000 barrels, it seems to be very small. When are you going to increase that volume?
Yeah, thank you. I think that question is a very valid question, because most of the people don't understand, you know, the technical challenges that we are facing in Block 5A. But I'm here now to explain exactly what has happened. Before the shutdown of the oil as a result of the crisis in 2013, the production was around 4,000 to 4,500 barrels a day. This is dictated by the fact that in Khartoum refinery is causing this limitation for our production, but not because Block 5A cannot produce more than that. It can produce more than that, but it has been restricted, and this restriction is what we call capping. It has been capped, which means you cannot go beyond 4,500 barrels a day. That was then in 2013. But we had been working very hard with Sudan to make sure that we increase the production, because the limitation that is imposed on the production was determined by the quality of crude oil that we produce from Tharjas, which is very heavy and waxy and acidic. And Khartoum refinery is designed in a way that does not accommodate, you know, a certain quality of crude oil. So this crude oil quality in Tharjas is what made it very difficult. And also the production in Sudan is quite similar. And this also makes Sudan, choose the nomination or the priority of nomination to the pipeline to their own crude oil. Because if they have crude oil that is not good quality, and we have one that is not good quality, they will prefer their volumes first before us. Mm-hmm. So that's why we are being restricted. and our pipeline, I mean the pipeline of Sudan is what is restricting us in terms of the quality. And that's why we are getting it very low. And this year, we have agreed, even early in 2019 with Sudan, that we should produce 16,000 barrels a day. So what we have started only is only some wells that we have already started. So we have started with 3,000, and by the end of the year, it's going to be like 8,000 and maybe 10,000. And then by next year, we should reach the targeted 16,000 barrels a day based on the capping limitations that is being imposed. But still, the block has the potential to produce above 20,000 barrels immediately. If the Khartoum lift those restrictions on the pipeline because of the Khartoum refinery. So we're working towards that with Sudan, and I'm sure they will be able to allow us to produce more. So this production in Block 5A has a potential of going even beyond 20,000 in 3 years' time or in 5 years' time, because we can go up to 40,000 barrels a day.
You spoke about the refinery and the capping of the production from Sudan, but what about your own refineries that have been promised, and one of them was actually launched? What is going on?
Well, the refinery actually was completed in 2000, the first block of the refinery was completed in 2014 in March, after the crisis in 2013, but they were attacked at that time, and they were forced to evacuate. It's a Russian company that constructed the refinery, although it was not complete, but the pre-commissioning was done in March 2014, and even fuel was produced, and it was intended to be completed by that time, but unfortunately, because of the war, they could not continue. So the refinery has been stopped from that time until we resumed recently in 2019 and 20. So now the first block is now completely renovated and is ready. But the challenge, of course, is for us to evacuate the products from the refinery side to Juba, where the consumption is, and especially when we produce from those refinery heavy fuels, because heavy fuels cannot readily be used by any consumer. Mm-hmm. It has to be used in power plant only, or exported. Yeah. So this is the challenge. Is the challenge of the roads and the logistics in this country that is causing this refinery not to see light, especially when the products come to South Sudan, to Juba. And now the refinery is ready to operate well, but the company is still working together with Sinopec to complete some of the facilities that are required. But these facilities will not stop it from working if the road were there. Mm-hmm. If we have road today from Tharjas and from Unity and from Ruing up to Juba, then you can receive fuels every day. Until the rest of the facilities, because these are the facilities that are required, will not stop the refinery from operating. So block one is ready, and we are just waiting for the logistics and the roads and perhaps the river transportation, which would be the best option for us to transport the fuel from the Unity oil fields block 114 oil fields to Juba or to other places in South Sudan.
So the commodity reaching, the product reaching the capital and where it's more needed is because of the roads.
That's right.
The transportation.
That's right. And the river.
Now it is not on river transportation. I heard there were allowed about 160 blocks on the river.
That's
this is
right.
A huge number. And so the refinery is active, but the product cannot reach the town here.
That's
because
right.
of that. Now, let us move quickly to the recent conference, energy conference that you held here in Juba 2 weeks ago. It seems reputable and bigger oil investors have been showing little interest in investing in South Sudan. What's your comment?
Well, I cannot say that they are showing a little interest. Perhaps what would they want to see? Because mostly, if you want to invest in South Sudan or in any country, you need to get some concrete information and some concrete data that you will be using for you to develop interest. Now that we have three major oil blocks that are operating in South Sudan, and these are already occupied by the CNPC, Petronas, and ONGC, then this will obviously not allow people to come, newcomers, because they are already contracted that are doing the work. But the interest will be developed in what we call the first licensing round. And then this the first licensing round was already launched in Juba for the first time. And we have worked on those licensing round actually since 2019. And it was supposed to be launched in March 2020, but unfortunately, because of the COVID-19, we could not hold it at that time, and that's why it was late. But this launches around is what will give the investors the new opportunity to come to South Sudan. So we cannot say whether people are interested to come or not, but because there are no ready opportunities for them to come in. And this is why we have opened up the new opportunities for those investors that will be coming to South Sudan. So this launches around now is putting five blocks for tendering, and these blocks now will tell us exactly who are the ones that will be interested to, and a number of them have already showed interest. to come to South Sudan, and that's why we have been marketing these blocks, and we still have more because then the blocks that we have demarcated for licensing is around 14. Out of those, we have started with only 5, which will make the first licensing round, which we are now holding at the moment. And we are seeing a lot of people developing interest because you have to provide data. Nobody will just come because you have something to offer without mm-hmm. data. You have to offer data first. And that's why the Ministry of Petroleum has worked since 2019 to bring all this data to South Sudan, and now we are able to do that. So once we launch this licensing round, it is because we have been able to collect data from that time up to now. And we have also acquired an aircraft. This aircraft is actually meant to map the hydrocarbon resources of South Sudan, so that you at least understand the resource base of this country in terms of hydrocarbons and perhaps mineral deposits in this country. And this aircraft is now owned by South Sudan. It is now at the airport. It is actually geared to the same effort to make sure that South Sudan has its own data, and this data is what will bring the investors to South Sudan. But if you want to auction your blocks without data, nobody will come to South Sudan. But now we have done it differently, and this is the right time for us to invite investors, and then we'll see tomorrow that everybody who comes to South Sudan will find data. And we have also built a data room and data center in South Sudan for the first time. Also, we have it now at the moment. We have started the construction of that data since 2020 earlier, and up to now the data is almost, data center is ready and it's going to be furnished. So all the data will be housed within that data center, and this is what any country requires if you want to get the real investors to South Sudan. If we want to auction our blocks without data, nobody will come. You'll only find very small companies and maybe brokers at the end of the day. And this is why we wanted also to promote the issues of transparency, and that's why it's going to be like an open tender, and it's already on at the moment. So most of the interested companies will be applying. And then later we'll see who's going to come and who's not going to come. But I'm sure with this data, it will now open the appetite for the investors to come to South Sudan.
And when you speak about availability of data, I think investors also are interested or can be attracted to any country through other means, like they need other things apart from having information. Do you think now South Sudan, just 5 years after war and the peace agreement is staggering, don't you think that it is early enough, too early, to start calling in investors when the confidence in stability has not been restored?
Well, I quite agree with you, because usually most of the companies that will not be interested to come to South Sudan, it is not because of the debt alone, but because of the other conditions, and then also political stability. This political stability will be one of the reasons that will will not allow companies to come to South Sudan. But of course, as we are talking about the revitalized peace agreement and the implementation that is being done at the moment, this should also give confidence to South Sudan. I'm sure the country now is also making a lot of progress in terms of performance, and the economic performance is also improving, although it has not yet reflected into the life of the people. But you can see a lot of progress in terms of of the economy performance. So this performance of the economy and also political stability that is being done at the moment, and as you see, the government is being formed in the states and everywhere, and even the central government is being formed, this will give them more confidence. And of course, others will testify for that, because if we say it as government officials, people may not believe what we say, but at least those who are here in South Sudan, whether they are NGOs, whether they are embassies, they will testify for that. There are a lot of improvements that the government is putting, and you can see also development in South Sudan in terms of infrastructure, the roads and power, which were not there before. So I think a lot of things are being done in South Sudan, and progress is being made, and this should give confidence to those who would want to invest in South Sudan, because at the end, if they see power in South Sudan, if they see roads being constructed, then something positive is coming. And even the economy, the performance of our hard currency, of our local currency versus the hard currency, also you can see a lot of positive indicators. And then eventually it will be reflected to the life of people. But it takes time, of course, for this to settle. And then this will also give a good indication for this. Yeah. And then coupled with the effort that we do also to attract investors, I think we need also to promote investment in the country, because the laws in the country also need to be reviewed for us to attract more investors, because giving data will not be enough, but of course we have to give them favorable investment packages so that they can come and invest in South Sudan. So I think this will go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing that will take time is for you to provide the data and also to produce, to provide a conducive environment for investors to come to South Sudan. But these laws can always be worked out as package also to attract investors to South Sudan.
What is the potential of the South Sudan oil that is still underground and has a potential of being extracted?
Well, you know, South Sudan oil has been very huge from the very beginning, and that's why the production was very high. But as years pass and production continues, it depletes gradually until it reaches a level where it can also be zero at the end. And that's why we call oil hydrocarbons depletable resources. So for us, we are confident that South Sudan is endowed with a lot of resources of hydrocarbons, but they need to be explored. So what we are focusing at the moment, even through this licensing round, is to explore South Sudan for hydrocarbons. And this exploration for hydrocarbons will give us will ascertain the reserves that are there in South Sudan, because we don't have figures as we continue to do this. We don't have accurate figures. Even in the current production blocks, we also review from year to year, because you can have a figure this year, but next year when you review your resources, it can change. It can go plus or minus. It can go down or go up. And that's why we have to continue to replenish the reserves that we are also producing from. And then we have to replenish the reserves so that we continue to produce oil for a long time.
Thanks, Daniel Chuang. Listeners to Radio Mirai, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is the discussion hour of Nationwide Program, and we are discussing with the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Petroleum more updates on the oil production and related issues. And we have covered the recently held energy conference in South Sudan, which was meant to attract investors, and also we have covered the production level and some of the challenges that are facing this sector. Now, let's move quickly to what you spoke to me earlier a couple of months ago about the environmental audit and that there was a bidding that was being put out for international companies to come in and address this issue. Where are we now?
Yeah, I think in regards to environmental audit, we are moving very well, and we are at the stage where these companies that have expressed interest are being evaluated. So it's only evaluation stage that the process is in today, and I'm sure within this week or maybe next week it should be out, so that these companies will be selected and then they come and do the audit. So it is progressing. It's progressing very well, but of course it takes time, because when you review the data, they have very huge documents that takes, you know, time for you to review, because you will not just use the executive summaries, but you have to check every detail of those documents for you to make a proper evaluation, so that you get the right companies that are competent to do the work. And although most of them are pre-qualified and they are good, but still you want to get the best out of them, so that we do a very or a quality audit in South Sudan, because this is the first time we're doing it as a government. And we need to make sure and assure our people that any damages of environment that has happened in South Sudan has to be corrected, and also any future effects will have to be mitigated, so that we live in harmony with the environment while producing our resources of hydrocarbons in those areas. And especially today that we are opening up new acreages, we need to create a model in the current producing wells, current producing fields, so that we don't replicate any shortcomings that has happened over the years in the current producing blocks, because we have learned from this, and that should be also a good lesson for us to create good model for managing the environment, so that we are able to produce oil while preserving the environment and the lives of people.
Any idea where these companies who have applied come from?
Well, I'm not sure about the but most of them are from Europe and from the region, but mostly from Europe actually. And of course, the selection will be done based on the merits and based on their qualifications, so that we do this report and then we use it as a reliable document, because at the end it is that report that will be used for correction and for mitigation. So we are very serious about getting the right people to do the work, so that we assure our people that we are safe while we are producing our oil.
The quick question also about the protests that have taken place, especially in Fallujah, in the last 2 weeks, against NGOs, and also people are demanding jobs, especially from the oil companies. But they were also demanding the implementation of the agreement that they have reached with the oil companies in terms of provision of some basic services. What are we at the moment?
Yeah, well, I think in the last few days I was in Fallujah, and I attended one of the meetings, you know, because there was a demonstration in the capital of Maloud County, and we actually talked to the demonstrators, because these are local communities, that they are demanding a number of things which are actually their rights, you know. And because some of those, projects that were, planned by the companies delayed, you see, and this delay is what has caused anger to those companies. So I went there myself and with my team and with the help of the commissioner of Maluth County. We worked out a plan of how to expedite the plans, because these plans are already there, but of course the implementation of those plans is what has taken time, and we are now pushing, and some of those projects are already on now. And even if you can see yesterday on South Sudan television, you see some of the projects that were launched. These are part of what they have demanded. But of course the biggest challenge, of course, will be the demand for employment. Like you said earlier on, a lot of issues are coming up in terms of employment of the youth of those areas, whether with NGOs or with the oil companies, because, you know, there is a very high rate of unemployment. And this is causing also anger and redundancy in most of the youth, and that's why they become angry when they see that things are not moving the way they want. So there's a need for us also to work very closely with the government so that we also create jobs in other sectors, because at the end, the job opportunities that are provided by the oil companies are limited, you see. And then, even if we try to say, okay, let us now employ people from Maluth, they can be there, but still it will not be enough for them, you know, because this is a national, resource that should employ everybody in South Sudan. But of course, mindful of the fact that these employment opportunities are very limited, it continues to be a challenge to the Minister of Petroleum and to the oil companies, because at the end, you have to run your business also in an economic manner. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a matter of accommodation, but it has to be a need for employment, and then the need of the business that will determine the employment. And then, of course, most of the people, they don't understand. And therefore, the management of expectation of those youth also has to be managed. But of course, we are working very hard to make sure that most of them are employed and are given priority when they do the work, especially in those areas, because you cannot bring drivers or bring, you know, cleaners from a very far distance, but you have to use the local people from those areas. But of course, the South Sudanese in general also have the right to work on those areas. So these are the expectations that we are managing at the moment, and it's become very difficult for us to manage, especially when the oil is already flowing and the companies are working, and they don't understand what are the needs of those companies and how can they run economically so that they are able to recruit people. Mm-hmm. But the companies have been directed by us that wherever there is any chance for employment, they should always be given a priority, and the nationalists must be given the priority.
Yeah. You also faced another challenge, which was the strike of the employees and South Sudanese employees and workers in the oil fields, especially in the east areas of Maluth and Upper Nile. Where are we at the moment? Because their demands seem to have not been met.
Yeah, actually, the issue of irregularity in the management of the the salaries and all those over the years in the companies has also caused a big problem. And this one was actually being led by the Minister of Petroleum since 2012, when we started to work on the Unified Human Resource Policy Manual. And this Unified Human Resource Policy Manual is actually meant to be a regulation that will streamline the payment of salaries and tariffs, you know, because we have salaries and we have tariffs. Tariffs are paid to the secondees mm-hmm. of the partners, and salaries are paid to the direct hire. So this issue has been lingering there for quite some time, and we worked it out. And until 2019, we reached sort of, a consensus that there is a way for us to come out from this issue. So a team was formed, and then in 2020, the team concluded their work under the current minister, which has now already tabled this one to the council of ministers for approval, and it is already approved. So what we are waiting for now is just for this to be implemented by the joint operating companies, because South Sudanese are receiving very little salary compared to the expatriates and compared to the secondees of the expatriate. And even Nile paid secondees are also getting less. So that's why we came out with this Unified Human Resource Policy Manual in order to streamline the payment, and then also to unify these payments, so that at least equal jobs should be given equal pay. Mm-hmm. So this is the intention of this, and it was already tabled in the Council of Ministers, and we are working together with the companies to these days, so that we see how to implement those provisions of the Unified Resource Policy Manual.
So there is evasions from the companies were not real, or they were real and you are trying to work it out with them?
Well, I think, most of the companies would not easily accept what came out from the Unified Human Resource Policy Manual. But for us, we are the regulators as Minister of Petroleum, and we think that when we started to work on this, we did it with complete knowledge and with full knowledge and with informed data.
Yeah.
And then this plan was done, in a very diligent way since 2012, like I can tell you. This is started, but it was not completed. But that's why we have completed in 2020, and we think that this is a very good document that has to be implemented by the joint operating companies, so that people are treated fairly and the South Sudanese also get their equal share from the oil.
I know this oil industry is much owned by the investors themselves, and South Sudan has only 5% or something like that. And that means these companies, they have the bigger share of the income and what they get from that. And South Sudan has so... I'm afraid they are treating South Sudanese according to the share they have from their government. Is that the case?
Well, I think South Sudan has no 5%, like you said. Actually, 5% is only Nilepet.
Nilepet, yeah.
Okay, because, you know, the structure of the agreements with the joint operating companies is what we call exploration and production sharing agreements. So it is signed between the government and the operators.
Yeah.
I mean the partners.
So
this
there is a share with every government.
That's correct. So now the government has its share.
Is there with every company, I mean?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. So the government has its share, and this share is what comes to the Minister of Finance. And then Nilepet has a share also. And this share is what people understand as the share of the government. It is the share of the government, but it is not the whole
so
share.
So there
of
is
government.
No strong basis for the companies to discriminate against the national staff, if that is the case.
That's right. There's no any foundation for that at all. Because as long as they are exploiting the resources of South Sudan, then the rule of the land should prevail. And that's why we are providing rules and regulations so that we are able to work. We have the Petroleum Act 2012, but of course, out of this, we should also develop regulation. And this is some of the regulation that we are using, and then this regulation should be enforced so that we streamline the operation of those laws in South Sudan. So for us, we understand that these are the rights of our people, and of course, the companies also should respect those rights as they came from the regulation of the government, because we are doing this within our current laws.
Yeah.
It is not a creation of something new. It is something that should be adopted by the current companies in South Sudan as a rule.
Yes. Listeners to Radio Mirage, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, with the Nationwide Discussion Hour. With me in the studio is the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Petroleum, Engineer Awo Daniel Chung. And we are discussing a lot of issues that are related to the oil production and related issues of investment, and also conflict with the local communities, and also the problems of the staff that are who are South Sudanese demanding their rights. When we also speak about local content, and another issue that is really disturbing us is the oil is being produced all these years in the country, and we have some of the administrators and managers being upgraded or promoted to higher positions in the oil industry and management. But it seems there is little on the ground, technically, of much ownership by South Sudanese up to this day. What is the problem, and when are we going to see the country and its people owning more and more of the oil facilities like it is done in everywhere in the world?
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a very interesting question, because, you know, the local content policy and regulation is one of the key areas that the government should focus on. And then that's why the Minister of Petroleum also has come with the regulation of local content 2019, and it is already now being enacted, although it can be resisted, because, you know, at the end, the foreign oil companies that are working, they have also their companies that come along with them, you know, and they would want to prefer them to South Sudanese. And that's why the role of the Minister of Petroleum is to make sure that local content is being respected, so that we also get a portion. And when we talk about local content, it does not mean that we are taking it 100%, but we have to take a very good portion that will be retained in the country. And by having this, you'll also make sure that you create jobs for those who will be working in South Sudan, because when you give a local company a job, then they will also employ some South Sudanese. So this is also creation of job, and this is also will help in developing the economy of South Sudan, as the local companies are working and they are given opportunities. And especially there are some categories of work that should always be given to the local companies, and this is already happening. Before, in 2012 and 2013 up to 2014, it was very difficult for South Sudanese companies to do some meaningful work in the oil fields. But we started from that time, actually from 2015 on, to push very hard to make sure that we give the local companies some work. But of course, the challenge also of the local companies is the capital. Most of them, they don't have the capital for them to start their work, and therefore we will always team up with some foreign companies, and then at times they don't even disclose to us the shares that they have. And then when we come and fight for them, then it will end up also being taken by a foreign. So that's another challenge that we are facing, but we have worked very hard over the years. So you see a number of South Sudanese companies that are working now. They are better than before, but still we have not reached what we have the target that we want to see at the end of the day. So we are pushing very hard to make sure that we develop the capabilities of our local companies, because they need to be capable of delivering the work. Some of the work that are being done by the local companies today are marginal works, like cleaning, grass cutting, and this is small work, small supplies. But we need them to be in a very sophisticated technical work in the oil field, and we have already started. And that's why you can see Nile Drilling. Nile Drilling now is a subsidiary of NilePet. It's a local company. We actually make sure that Nile Drilling gets some work as a subsidiary of NilePet, because it's a local company and it's doing a technical work, a highly technical work. And we have also SciPet, is a subsidiary of NilePet, is doing that work as well. And there are small companies also that are doing some work, which are private company. So we are helping them. But of course, their capability also will help us to put them into business easily.
So, but the question is, do you have really qualified in the last 20 years, do you have qualified South Sudanese who can really take up technical jobs in the oil sector, so that we can make sure that in the future there can be some blocks that are run entirely by South Sudanese?
Well, I think in terms of the qualified workforce, we have, but we have little. This number will not be enough. And that's why we're still working very hard and make sure that we train enough number of engineers and geoscientists and geologists, so that they, even accountants and support staff, what they need to be trained. Because oil industry is a very knowledge-intensive industry that requires diligence in your work and also needs professionalism. And this, therefore, we are working very hard to make sure that this thing is done. That's why most of the time we give opportunity to South Sudanese, and especially NilePet subsidiaries, because being a national oil company, we need to train people through them. We give them some jobs. We give them some challenges, although they may not have that confidence at the very beginning, but of course you'll end getting the work done correctly. And we, the example of that is what we did with SciPet in 2018 and 2019 in Manga oil fields. This oil Manga field was resumed by South Sudanese for the first time, and that was a challenge that we have taken upon ourselves, and also to put them on the front line so that they do their work, and they did it successfully. And then the second attempt, actually the second work that they did is recently when they resumed the production in Tarjas, is also done by SciPet, and it was designed by the Ministry of Petroleum so that they do it. And that's the exposure that we want to give to our people, so that they do their work. So I can assure you that we have a good number of engineers, but they are not enough still. So we are still aiming higher to get more trained, and also to get more jobs for the national oil companies, and also for the even service companies that are private also. Some of them are also doing very well, but although their number is not enough, but still we're encouraging them to team up with some experts and get some consultants so that they do the work correctly. So for me, I think we are doing very well, but we still need speed in that. We need speed so that we are able to control everything.
Thank you. We are left with 1 minute to conclude, and I give you that 1 minute to say your concluding message.
Yeah, thank you. I think my concluding message is that South Sudan is a country that has a lot of resources, especially in terms of hydrocarbons, and we need our people to also help in trying to develop those resources when we go for exploration for new blocks. And of course, South Sudan also will, as a government of the day, will have to get the companies that are very good ones, so that they develop the country through those kind of services, and especially the community development, and then HSE. And that's why we'll be aiming to get the best companies to South Sudan, so that the services are deployed to the people, whether it's community development programs, or whether employment, or whether health, safety, environment. And these are key issues that we need to do. And then we give them attractive packages, so that they are able to do the work with confidence, so that our people can benefit quickly from those resources in South Sudan.
Thank you very much, Engineer Awo Daniel Chong, the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Petroleum, for being with us. We have been caught up by time. Thank you very much. Hope to see you again.
Oh, thank you.
And that is the end of today's discussion hour on Nationwide program on Radio Mirai. With me, Gabriel Shadar. Thanks for listening.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.